Hey everyone, Pastor Harv here. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope this message blesses you with hope and energizes your walk with Jesus Christ. Share this with someone today and spread the joy to those in your life. Stay tuned to the very end. Let's jump right into the Word.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, I could keep singing. We did last week. What Jonah didn't know was that the scripture that I had intended for last week, sometimes I change direction, but I didn't. I saved it for this week. And I might just have him tag team with me. And we'll just kind of tie it all together. Turn to someone close to you that you love, or maybe someone you don't know that well, and just say, have you found the right altar? Have you found him? Do you know him? I mean, do you really know him today? I feel like I need to download this word into you, to bring this word to your hearts, because that was a confirmation. And I would be in disobedience if I did not do that very thing. So remain standing for the reading of God's word and go with me to the book of Acts chapter 17 with references to chapter 16. And now while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him as he looked over that city that was full of idols. Verse 23 said, for while I was passing through and examining your objects of worship, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. And therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything that is in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he does not dwell in temples made with hands or by hands, nor is he served by human hands. As though he needed anything, he has it all. Since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. If you go a little further in that chapter, verse 28, we'll tell you that it's in him that we live and that we move and that we have our being. Father, I pray that you would honor your word today, that you would touch and stir our hearts, even as Paul was stirred on the brink of evangelism, the brink of soul winning, the brink of burden heart, just outside of Athens, Greece. Or in Athens, Greece. And I pray, God, today that you would stir our hearts for our cities, Summit and Dora, the surrounding area, region, Birmingham. That, God, you would be glorified and you would be honored in all that we do say and sing today. And that, God, we would find strength in your word to move us forward, to move us forward, to move us forward. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. Amen. Love someone around you. Hug someone's neck. Shake their hand. Minister to somebody right now with the love of the Lord. Todd Bolsinger has written books like Tempered Resilience and Canoeing the Mountains. And that's not really all that important, but this is an important story that he shared. He said that while he was hiking in Alaska with a friend and a guide named Laura, Laura gave specific instructions, hear me, about how to deal with grizzly bears. In some places in life, you will deal with grizzly bears. Todd told Laura about running the trails in the hills of California and that he came upon a black bear. He made every mistake that he could have made with that black bear. He ran downhill as fast as he could, muttering under his breath, "Black bears don't run well downhill. Black bears don't run well downhill." He said, "I huffed and I puffed my way all the way back to my cabin. I was exhilarated and embarrassed." He said that every time he told that story, people just laughed and laughed and laughed. Everybody laughed. But Todd said, Laura didn't laugh. Laura looked him right in the eye and she said, "You were lucky that time, but if you try that up here in Alaska, a bear will kill you." Those words chilled him and froze him. He said, "Just because I handled something the wrong way and got away with it, the more likely I was to do it again and again, but this time it would require my life." He listened. He had been feeding his own behavior. Listen, everyone may be laughing with you and at you and patting you on the back. Everyone else is glad you're getting away with your own behavior, but what you may need is a voice to say that is willing to pour into you, "You are bowing at the wrong altar, you're listening to the wrong applause, and you're being confirmed and affirmed by the wrong sources. This thing just might require your life. I'm okay," because they laughed at my reaction. My family brushed it under the carpet, but something besides political drama, something besides an eclipse, or pole dancers at a men's rally is going to kill us if we don't start paying attention to the voice of God again in our lives and making God's voice a priority about what really is right and what really is wrong and what really matters, and an altar of prayer where lives are changed forever. The altar is where you listen. If you listen, it's one thing to hear, it's another thing to listen. I can be delivered if I'm willing to listen. I can be set free if I will listen. I can really mature in my walk in the Lord if I will listen. You know what I found out, Brian? I found out that I can deal with grizzly bears in my life if I'm willing to listen to the Word of God and to hear Him. And so now we find that Paul is on his second missionary journey. What kind of man goes back to a city like Lystra? A city where a people or a person has stoned you and left you for dead. You know what I found out, Miss Sarah? I believe this about you. Am I trying to score brownie points? Maybe. Yes, I don't know. But Paul is a master Christian. He is driven by the call, Jeremy, to share none other than Jesus Christ. He wants to embrace and live Jesus for the whole world before he shares anything or anyone else. Paul loves people. So even those that misjudge him and those that try to take his life, those that confuse and refuse his message, Paul loves them. And from the depths of his heart, he's trying to get their attention, and he has called them to listen. So now it is that Paul and Silas, they move from Lystra and they move into this city. There are places where people will try to kill you, if not physically. They will assassinate your character. They will come against who you are and what you know you are to be in Jesus Christ. So now they move into Philippi, not named after Philip. And there they deal with a sorceress. I've heard that somewhere else this morning. She said the right things. She did the right things. She even talked about, listen, the way of salvation. But Paul was grieved down deep in his spirit, and something was not right, and he spoke to that spirit, though she talked Jesus and talked about the way of salvation. He said, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. This young lady was bowing and believing at all the wrong altars. You need to hear me today, even in the church where we sing about joy and we sing about salvation and we sing about thanks. We need to pay attention to that voice down deep in our soul that grieves us, not about people, because God loves people, but there are spirits that attach themselves to people, and they live under the influence of that spirit. And when you are grieved in the depths of your soul, you need to hear that voice and pay attention to that voice, because something is not what it seems. They taught Jesus, but they don't live Jesus. They don't love like Jesus. And you cannot let a grieving spirit overtake you. You speak out of that authority that you have in Jesus Christ. You speak over that grief in Jesus Christ. And the word said the spirit came out of her. Sometimes we force people into a place where they have to get specific, family members, pastors. And then when they do, we don't like it. We don't like this place at Philippi. It's a place where our spirit is grieved, where all that sounds like Jesus is not Jesus. But can I share with you the good news today? The end result for this young lady that Jonah talked to you about this morning is that she is completely set free. She is made whole in her mind, in her heart, in her body, in her soul. And she is no longer grieving Paul or Silas. She has been liberated by the Christ, the King, Jesus himself. Listen. I feel like God moved my heart this week that I need to speak over this place and that we need to speak over one another. Would you lift your hands toward heaven right now? That we need to speak over those spirits that grieve the freedom and the liberty and the power of the Holy Spirit, so that God, through the power of the Holy Ghost, has the liberty to walk our aisles and move in our altars and move on our stage and move in our lives. Father, we declare it today in Jesus' name. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. I'm speaking over spirits that grieve you today and grieve me today and grieve us today. What happens? Paul and Silas find themselves locked away, imprisoned in a jail cell, because this woman has been delivered and made whole. She is free, but the magistrates have beaten Paul and beaten Silas, placed them in the confines of a prison at Philippi. Sometimes midnight hours take place in cities like Philippi, in places like Philippi, maybe even places like Summerton and places like Birmingham. They have beaten Paul and Silas, but the word said that at the midnight hour, Paul and Silas prayed and they sang praises unto God. I came to remind someone that you can praise him at your Philippi. You can praise him in your midnight hour. You can praise him in your prison, and God will hear you just like he can in an altar at Summerton on Sunday morning. The word said, suddenly there was an earthquake, and all the doors were opened. This is an amazing picture, because Paul is praising God, and there is no bitterness in his heart. Jim, if I expounded and gave everything that I had, poured everything that I am into a situation, if I stood boldly and I confronted a woman or a man that had proclaimed the name of Jesus, but the spirit wasn't right, and that spirit came out, and she was made free and saved and delivered, I would want to celebrate, but that's not what the magistrates did. No, they put Paul and Silas where? Into the common prison. And the word said they could have prayed. This is what the word says at one point, one place in the word. They could have prayed like the psalmist. They could have said, oh Lord, break their teeth in their mouth. I won't tell you whom I prayed that over. I'm glad that God vetoes our own prayers sometimes, aren't you? I'm glad that God gets in the way of our selfishness and our aggravation and our confusion and our frustration. He could have prayed like that, but he didn't. They chose to magnify the Lord with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the word tells us that God opened the door. If you really want an open door in your life, God said, I need to hear you praise me out of your prison situation once again. I need to hear you above the noise of the earthquake. I've heard you complain about me and fuss about me and go on about me and my people, but I need to hear your gratitude again. God said, I'll teach you how to sing during the midnight hour once again. If you will find an altar and you will worship me for the God that I am. You'll never sing like that until you're willing to bow like this. Where you forget your pride and you pursue the presence of God with all of your soul again. You stop worshiping icons, and you stop worshiping songs and song styles, and you stop worshiping men and women in the pulpit. We are women just like you. We love God. We have been saved by the grace and the mercy of God. We don't worship one another. We don't worship styles, but we bow at the altar of this God that Paul knows so well. Silliness, this stuff about Driscoll and Lindell. Yes. Silliness to divert the church from the living God. If you've not heard about it, don't waste your time. Right. God said, I've heard about you complain about me, but will you praise me again? And it just may be that we have really lost our way to the altar, because I hear a whole lot of people singing, and I hear a whole lot of people preaching. But I can't tell you that in the last 5 to 10 years, I've seen a whole lot of people praying, bowed in an altar of God where there's no glory, and there's no limelight, and there's no microphone. Teshurutabehe. Yay. You lift your hands just for a moment and just praise him for who and what he is. Even now, says the Lord, on this baptism Sunday, even now I have interrupted you to remind you that you can hear my voice, that you can know my way, that you can bow again, and I will hear you. I will listen. Hearken. happen unto me, says the Lord, even now in this moment of celebration, and acknowledge me and repent and turn from your sin. Bow your knee at an altar of prayer, and I will honor you, and I will grant my favor into your life once again. Let me tell you why they are praising God. Because while they are praising God, the word tells us that a jailer found an altar. While they are shackled and guarded and suffer reproach for the kingdom of God, we want glory and we want favor and we want to be smiled upon, and those are all noble, and we want to do the right thing for God. But while they are bound and they're not being glorified on TBN or glorified in other media circles, God is visiting them. And many times we get so discouraged because we feel like we've been shackled and we don't have this person's favor or that person's favor, as though they control our destinies. But the word tells us that while they are praising God and an earthquake is shaking the land, that there's a jailer in that house that bows his knee to the altar of the Almighty God, and his life is changed forever and forever. Hey. He brings his family into the saving grace of a mighty God. I heard the voice of the Lord clearly yesterday. He said, if you, someone in this house, if you will praise me in your prison, if you will praise me while you feel bound, if you will praise me while you feel like you're chained and shackled, God said, I'm creating an altar in your family for that nephew, that son, that daughter that does not know Jesus. And if you will praise me out of your prison, I will save them. Move in their life. God can do a Philippi in your life today. God can work a Philippi in your life. It may seem like you're bound and there's no hope and you've been dishonored and forgotten, but God said, I'm creating an altar that goes beyond your prison. Paul moves to Thessalonica. There is a main road between Philippi and Thessalonica built by the Romans. 100 miles separates these two cities. God is connecting the Western Empire with the Eastern Empire. God said to pause and tell you. God said, though the distance is great, I'm connecting a road. I'm connecting a pathway. I'm connecting a way between the empires of your life, the distance between you and that son or that daughter. And you don't even know it. The Romans think they are building these roads. The Romans built 52,000 miles of roads. And you know what I found in the scripture, Philip? I found out that God showed up on every one of those 52,000 miles. What Rome thought they were connecting for their own glory, God was setting them up and used the enemy to build a highway, to build a roadway, to build a way from one individual and soul to another. 200,000 people are in Thessalonica. That's a large city in that day. It is a key cosmopolitan city to all of Macedonia. In verse 2, Paul said this, when he got to Thessalonica, the word said that he reasoned with them. There were men of education and influence there. There were those stricken with poverty and downhearted and depleted and discouraged, but the word said that Paul reasoned with them. You know what I found? Ryan McGill, I found out that you can reason with some people. Nicole, I found that there are some people that you cannot reason with. I found out with some people there are no middle ground. The word said he reasoned with some, but I love verse 5. I believe that God and Dr. Luke have a sense of humor. The word said that there were some there, they were lewd fellows. Not nude fellows, lewd fellows. Of a baser sort. Paul was saying there were some low-down scoundrels in that place. No middle ground. But watch this. I have a tough time saying this to a degree because I believe in it. There were no demographic studies done in Thessalonica. There was no internet campaign to do a church launch. The whole city was unsaved until Paul got there. I love this. This made me shout. But in 3 weeks, a church is born in that cosmopolitan city. In 3 weeks, the wind of Pentecost blows through Paul and Silas. In 3 weeks, God raises up one man after another and one mom after another and one child after another. And in 3 weeks, a church is born in a city of great wealth and influence and great power that even the power of God cannot be shut out, but he is available to the wealthy and the mighty and the poor and the depleted. God is a God who can do what he chooses to do when and where he chooses to do it. Woo. God will build his church in a quick way. Take the word, unleash the power of the Spirit. God will do his will. This is a quick work. God said from this day forward, from this moment forward, on this Sunday in April 2024, I'm ready to do a quick work in your life and in your family. I'm about to turn around what you thought was a lost and hopeless situation, if you will believe. When you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul tells us the word, the gospel went out from you. Do you understand what's happening? Thessalonica is a major influential city. And Paul said there's some low-down dirty scoundrels there. But he said I could reason with some. And the Holy Spirit touched some. And he said so that the word that was raised up in you in 3 short weeks, he said it's already gone out, it's multiplied, and it's conquering. What was happening? God was taking major influential cities. And he was touching farming communities and small towns. The word was going east and the word was going west. I tell you today, I believe that Summerton is a little big town. I believe that Summerton is mighty in the eyes of the Lord. I believe that God can take from here and move out there and that God can get. Hey, listen, we're not just a shadow of what we were in the past. We are who God says we are today, and we have a future and we have a hope if we'll share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone was very kind. I told someone this week, I said, you know, I felt like God was moving last Sunday and I didn't want to shut down and start again. I didn't want to preach. And they were very kind. And they said, Pastor, listen, these people want to hear from you. Don't be afraid to share the word. We'll wait. We'll listen. I said, I'll add 10 minutes this next Sunday. So I'll get us through this. And we'll move into a time of celebration. But I think that this word is vital. It's important. So Paul goes to Berea. It's key. The word says in verse 11, they were more fair-minded than Thessalonica. Have you met people in your life? They're just more fair-minded than others. They're easy to talk to. You can disagree and know that when you leave there, you don't have to worry about them going to tell everybody else what you disagreed about. You don't have to worry about them slamming you and bad-mouthing you because they don't agree with you. The word said Berea was more fair-minded. God, give us a church filled with people who are fair-minded. Amen? Some will receive you. Some will treat you right. Some are open to the Spirit of Jesus in you. The church is growing. The word said some from Thessalonica, those low-down, dirty scoundrels that couldn't be reasoned with, they make a 100-mile trip to fight against Paul and what is happening in Berea. Some people will go a long, long way to discredit you, to discredit your church, to discredit your family, to put you down. But the word said that God is moving very quickly. Now we're in Acts chapter 17, verse 16, and the word said that Paul's spirit was stirred in him as he moves to Athens. And why was his spirit stirred? Stephen, the Bible said that he prayed over a city that was given, Jeff, that he was praying over a city that was given wholly to idolatry. They talked about God all the time. They talked about a God. I was so blessed and fortunate. I'm not a world traveler by any means, but I was so blessed several years ago to go to Athens, Greece. And I can remember images just like it happened yesterday. I was there yesterday. A beautiful city on the Mediterranean Sea. We stayed in a hotel called the Poseidon. And my brother and I, we were so excited because we had been in Israel. And our trip had been redirected through Athens instead of Rome. And we were excited because we were finally going to get some pizza on this trip. And I remember Athens, it had the wow factor. Man, everywhere you looked, it was just like, wow, that's beautiful. That's incredible. But Paul, when he nears Athens, he's not concerned about the wow factor, but he is driven by the woe factor. He is not a sightseer. He is a soul winner. And the word says that he sees shame, and men are trying to satisfy their living hearts with false gods. And I want to tell you, I'm guilty. I confess before you today. Sometimes in our churches, I think we're so caught up with trying to create a wow factor. Yes. Yes. That God said, when was the last time you checked your woe factor? Yes. You say, God, what are we missing? Yes. Where have we lost our drive? Where have we lost our priorities? Paul speaks into their lives. We're moved by child trafficking, and we're moved by political unrest, and we're moved by racial discrimination. But when was the last time we were convicted about people wasting their time with non-gods that can do nothing for them? I tell you today, we serve a God. He talks back to us. And I have found out that I'm in much better shape. Oh, I love to talk to him. And when I get frustrated and I'm angry and I don't know my next step and I'm just pouring my heart, I love to talk to God. But I found out that when I really grow is when I'm willing to listen to him as he talks to me. Paul says, God, talk to them and speak into their lives and give them peace that passes all understanding. The Epicureans are there and they debate Paul. They believe that the gratification of the body, the mind, the individual is satisfied through the appetites and the pleasure that this life can give. Randomness and pleasure are the pursuits of life. The Stoics were there following Zeno from 270 BC, that life is nothing more than fate and that passion and joy can't move you. They are fatalist and pantheist and they deny the resurrection. And this is what really got me and got Paul. There are 30,000 statues of godless, formless, lifeless gods in Athens, Greece. There was no life. And you know what they said about Paul? They said, Paul, you're a babbler. You're not making any sense. And Paul loved them and he spoke out of conviction and out of the Holy Spirit. And he could have said, you call me a babbler? You got 30,000 statues around here and not one of them can help you. But I'm talking about the one God who can. I'm talking about the one you've called the unknown God. And I just want to tell you, I met him on the road to a city called Damascus. And he impacted my life and he turned my world upside down. He could have told them about all of his educational accomplishments, all that he had, all of his wealth, all of his fortune, his fame, his heritage, his Roman heritage, his Jewish heritage. He probably did at times. But he said, I met the one on the Damascus Road that brought me to my knees. And I came to the altar when I never intended to. I want you to stand with me this morning. You may have shown up today because mom and dad asked you to be here. You may be here because someone invited you to a water baptism. You may be here because you simply showed up last Sunday and the Sunday before that. I do believe this. I believe that God has visited us this morning. I believe that God has spoken clearly, fluently. And that he's given an invitation already to someone or some family or some couple, or some mom, some dad. That I brought you here today for one reason. And that is for you to meet me at an altar so that I can speak into your life again. Would you just, for a second, bow your heads. God, will you move us today into your throne room and past self-gratification and personal reward? Can you move us to a place like Paul where your word says his spirit was stirred in him? Oh God. I pray now you would speak into this congregation. You would speak into the overflow. You would speak into the balconies left and right. That God, should your spirit tug at someone's heart, that they would move even now, they would move toward a connection or a reconnection with you at an altar of prayer where you are Lord of Lords and King of Kings once again in their lives. God, I pray today that we will love you simply because you're God and you love us and you care. Look at me and listen. The word said his spirit was stirred in him. That's before anyone else showed up. That's before anyone else made their way. I want you to hear this today. If it takes Jonathan Ziegler, if it takes Jensen Franklin, if it takes Kevin Wallace, if it takes T.D. Jakes, if it takes Southern gospel music, if it takes Bethel or contemporary music to stir you and to stir your soul, can I emphatically tell you today that something is missing at your altar? If this word can't stir you, and who God is through the power of this word, you've made your way to an altar that will never satisfy you because you're looking for a movement, you're looking for an experience, you're looking for something to stir earthly whims instead of a passion and a joy that can satisfy you every day and every morning of your life. I wake up praising Him. Jeremy, actually, I go to bed praising Him. Because no matter what happened in between, He's God and He's sovereign and He rules over all. Will you really pray? Will you lift your hands toward those that are here this morning?
Well, I hope you were blessed and inspired somehow by today's message. Here at Summerton Church of God, we believe that God still does the miraculous. We are seeing people's lives changed and transformed, healed and delivered, all to the glory of this incredible God. We want you to experience that for yourself and for your family. Why don't you be our guest one Sunday right here at Summerton Church? I look forward to personally seeing you.